Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Rolling into hour two here on this Tuesday. We do have Two-Way Tuesday coming up at 2:05, so you don't want to miss that. I think I would like to continue here with not only these Project Veritas cuts, but also this conversation about why Dr. Francis Collins is suddenly resigning after so many years at the National Institutes of Health. Director Francis Collins plans to announce his resignation on Tuesday, today, after nearly three decades at the agency, including 12 years at the helm. The 71-year-old physician led the agency under three consecutive presidents. Earlier on Monday night, a Pfizer whistleblower came forward. We'll get into all of that later. I want to keep playing some of this Pfizer sound. This is Project Veritas. They sat down with a couple of scientists from Pfizer. I don't know what the undercover ruse was. I don't know if it was like, you know, the last time it was a guy from CNN, some sort of content director, and he thought he was going on like a Hinge date. So they get clever, these Project Veritas. I got to give James O'Keefe his due.
It's called the honeypot. It's a classic.
Yes, it's a I always say I would be a good honeypot, I think. Because you just have to go, oh, yeah, and get people talking. And, oh, that's so interesting. Tell me more. You know, if you watch The Americans, that's all they have to do. They go on like a couple dates with somebody and then boom, the person starts spilling the beans about the operation. And that's what's clearly happening here. I don't know if it looks like they're out to brunch or something. Looks like I see some orange juice in the videos. So I don't know if it was a brunch date or what, but whenever someone starts asking you these specific questions about your job, like one time we were having a VIP experience and these two young guys, they were asking me all these questions about how things ran and, you know, how'd I get into this and, you know, what are my thoughts on this and that. And finally I looked at them and I said, is this like a Project Veritas but backwards type thing? Are you guys, what's happening here? And they said, oh no, we used to work at, and they named some radio station, we're just curious about all the equipment. But I was immediately skeptical. I'm like, why are you talking like this? Like, what are you wearing a wire? But these guys, they did not have that premonition, and so they just went forward with it. And the sound is really incredible. We will get into all that, and I do want to focus a little bit on some of these old cuts from Dr. Francis Collins, because I'm hopeful that the reason he is resigning is because we're going to get some more information about the Wuhan lab, about the where COVID originated, how it originated, whether it was from a wet market or whether it was from a lab. And we will find out eventually whether Dr. Fauci wants us to or not. I think there's a lot of great reporters and journalists who are on top of this thing. So Dr. Francis Collins is leaving, and we're never gonna be able to ask him, like, you know, really ask him these questions, because I remember he was on CNN a couple weeks ago, or a couple months ago, I should say, and he's just as good as Jen Psaki. They're very good at dodging these questions. It is suspicious, though. I texted Scott Hounsell today. I said, could you come on to talk about Collins resigning? And he said, I can't. He's on vacation. But he said, it's fishy as bleep. And I would agree with that. But before we get to that, let's finish off with these Pfizer cuts. This is Chris Krokey. He's talking about Pfizer. And I want to replay that one really big cut, Jared, about are you wearing a wire, just so we can get people back into this. The whole conversation's revolving around natural immunity and why Pfizer and a lot of these big pharma companies don't seem to be promoting natural immunity or aren't big fans of it. Listen to this cut.
I mean, you have multiple companies that were basically given a crap ton of money to produce vaccines, and they're pushing them.
So what happens to the monoclonal antibody treatments?
Push to the side.
Why?
Money. It's disgusting. You're not wearing a wire, right?
No. You want to check?
I mean, I still feel like I work for like an evil corporation because it comes down to profits in the end. And I mean, I'm there to help people, not to make millions and millions of dollars. So I mean, that's the moral dilemma.
Billions and billions.
I'm trying to be nice.
No, yes. I hear you. I mean, I'll still give you a hard time about it.
Basically, our organization is run on COVID money now.
How so?
Like, it netted like over $15 billion last year.
I have to say, this is damning audio. And if we had a responsible media, which, spoiler alert, we do not, this would be everywhere. There's another man, Rahul Kandaki. He's a Pfizer scientist. And he starts talking about why we are made to believe that the vax is safer than getting COVID naturally. Cut 8.
Like, we're like bred and taught to be like vaccine is safer than actually getting COVID. And that's like, honestly, we have to do so many seminars on this. Like, you have no idea. Like, we have to like sit there for hours and hours and listen to like, be like, you cannot like talk about this. Like, it's not in public. You know, logically though, like if you have antibodies built up, like you should be able to prove that you have those built up. Like,
just, okay,
like,
hold on. Well, we have to call out the elephant in the room here. How many times is this guy going to say like, my mom, when we were younger, I've told this before, but when we were younger, we'd sit at the kitchen table and everyone would want to tell their stories about how the day was, you know, this person said this, and you'd want your little time to talk. And if you started telling a story and you peppered in more than one or two likes, my mother would start going like this. Every time you said it, or she'd try a different tactic. Beep, beep, beep. And it's frustrating because you get so thrown off your story and you say, Mom, stop doing that. And then my mom would say, well, stop saying like, you sound like a moron. This kid just said like 20 times. If this is a first date, that's a big no from me.
He's a scientist. Think about that.
It's a little bit frightening.
He's a scientist.
He doesn't sound like a scientist. Kind of sounds like a teenager. Let's play Nick Carl. This is also a scientist. Hopefully he says like a little bit less. Cut 9.
How do we get the unvaccinated vaccinated?
I feel like what they're doing, like, for instance, like the city needs like vax cards and everything. It's just like about making it so inconvenient for like unvaccinated people to the point where they're just like, F it, okay. You know?
What do you mean?
Like, if you are restricting people that are unvaccinated from doing anything, and then like vaccinated people are allowed to do anything they want, eventually they're just going to be like, let me just get vaccinated.
Wow. I know I should be talking about the context here of what he's saying, which is insane that they are admitting that that's exactly what they've been doing over the last two years. But the amount of likes in these conversations from scientists, this, you know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of the conversations that happen on The Bachelor, where you feel your mind melting as they're talking. But let's talk a little bit about this. Is anyone surprised? I've heard people bring this up all the time. And every time they call in, I say, I get where you're going with this. I'm sure there's something to it, but I don't know enough about it. But right now, Big Pharma seems like the conversation that has to be had in our society, because they've been so anti-therapeutics. Our media has teamed up with Big Pharma to vilify anyone that tries a different way besides the vaccines. We've seen it with ivermectin. We saw it with hydroxychloroquine. And perhaps it's because it was going to cut into their end game. Is that a crazy? I mean, you're the conspiracy guy here.
Not at all. And remember, Dr. Rand Paul got dragged through anything you can possibly imagine for saying specifically what Pfizer scientists just said to Dr. Fauci.
Absolutely. Now, Dr. Fauci, yesterday he said you shouldn't gather for Christmas or it's too soon to tell. And then he came back on TV, which he seems to be on our televisions 24/7, and said that his words, you know, the backlash wasn't fair because he was taken out of context or whatever, you know, small, the world's smallest violin. But it just, there's no honesty here. They're just trying to deceive people. And then they get so upset when people catch on. And that's what's happening. I looked at a chart today, and it was tweeted out by Scott Hounsell. And the chart is showing in Alberta the cases and where they were after they issued a mask mandate. Cases are up after the mask mandate. So a month since they issued these mask mandates, 45%. 45% increase. The science here does not add up with what these people are demanding of us. And then once you find out that they're just trying to make us miserable until we get this vaccine, it really should scare people. It definitely scares me.
Science.
Yeah, it's Dr. Fauci science. We will play more of this. And there's a governor. Governor Lamont in Connecticut, and he's mocking people and calling them Mother Teresa's if they want to use their religious exemption to get out of getting this vaccine. It's really become this way to demonize an entire group of people who you disagree with, and that seems to be what the Biden administration is all about.
How does that reconcile with Governor Hochul saying that Jesus created the vaccine? You guys need to get on a message here. You're going up against each other.
The message is the religion of COVID is what you should follow at all times. Eden Pure is extending the BOGO offer for an extra week with over 100,000 sold and counting. The thunderstorm is sweeping the nation because people everywhere are raving about how well it works to get rid of odors, kill mold and mildew, and to freshen the air. It starts working in a matter of minutes. It really does. I'll cook a steak sometimes in a cast iron. We use the grapeseed oil and it gets really steamy. We have a small kitchen. I turn this on. The steam is gone. The smell is gone. It smells like I didn't cook anything in the kitchen. And that's what you like, because those smells, they're delightful for a few moments and then they get a little rancid after a while. Right now, Eden Pure is offering a BOGO to my listeners this week only. That's right. Buy one, get one free. Pet, kitchen. We actually had a woman call up and she said that her cat had a, let's call it a bowel issue, and that the Eden Pure Thunderstorm got rid of that smell. I don't know how else I can convince you. If cat poop is not going to do the job, then you're hopeless. I mean, that's a testament to this product. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Grace BOGO. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word Grace BOGO. Hurry, these will sell out quickly, so don't delay. The offer ends Sunday, October 10th at midnight. Shipping is free. I see everybody on the lines. We'll take your calls right when we get back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. She's got the voice of an angel.
I've been called the songbird of my generation, by people who've heard me.
It's Grace Curley.
We've been talking today about natural immunity, and Dr. Rand Paul has often drilled down on this topic. He's never afraid to go after a topic that's going to get him labeled as a conspiracy theorist. And he asked Javier Becerra, why are you so against natural immunity? Why don't you want to talk about this? Why don't you celebrate the fact that some people are getting this? But getting natural immunity and do not need to get the vaccine. Why isn't that something that we're all, and I'm paraphrasing, but why isn't that something that we are all on board with? Why is there this hesitancy to talk about natural immunity? And that conversation is really picking up steam after a Project Veritas video came out where Pfizer scientists were admitting that natural immunity is oftentimes more protective than the vaccine. Let's go to the calls. Paul, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, Grace. How are you doing today?
I'm good. What's going on?
You know, I looked into the news and, you know, we're blaming the Republicans or blaming the Democrats and stuff. But when's the American people going to take responsibility for what's going on in our society today with the Fauci's and Joe Biden's stupidity and stuff like that? We're the ones that voted these people in. We're the ones that allow these people to stay in. We don't hold anybody accountable, you know, any politician accountable for anything they do or say. You know what I mean? Ultimately, the state that we are in today is our fault. It's we the people that did this to ourselves.
Yeah, but you know what, Paul? The only thing I'd push back on is people like Dr. Fauci and a lot of people right now who are telling us what to do. A lot of these federal bureaucrats, people like Antony Blinken, no one elected them. And I agree with you that we are responsible for the fact that Joe Biden is president, that we're even in this situation, and no one is more disappointed about that than yours truly. But my issue is that I'm being told what to do and when I can have Christmas and how many people I can have and if I have to keep the fans going and if I should eat outside late November for Thanksgiving by a guy who I never elected. And when you look at what happened in Afghanistan with that botched withdrawal, no one ever elected General Mark Milley. He's making calls to China, telling them not to worry about an attack, and no one ever elected him. So it's a lot of unelected bureaucrats that are frustrating me because I'm not under the impression that Joe Biden is making any of these decisions. As far as, you know, getting what we deserve based off our elections, elections do have consequences. And I'm disheartened that it took this feeble, inept old man for people to wake up and realize that the mean tweets aren't the worst thing in the world, that there's actual danger out there that we need to be aware of. But it looks like that's what it took. And Biden's polls are falling. His approval with black voters has dropped 20%, I believe. So it would appear that people are somewhat figuring things out, albeit a little bit too late. Sal, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Sal.
Hey, Grace, before the break, you played a quote-unquote scientist saying a way to get people vaccinated is to not allow them to do things and to allow the vaccinated to do things. Well, I'm in Waltham today, and there's signs everywhere now that as of October 4th, yesterday, that there's a mask mandate indoors again. And it's also for people that have been vaccinated.
Right.
Because vaccinated or not, you need to wear a mask. So where is the incentive?
No, you're absolutely right. And we have that in the city of Boston and in a few different places in Massachusetts based off the rate of COVID, you know, the hot spots. But I was thinking that the other day, Sal, I was walking around through Bloomingdale's and it was bizarre to me how into it everyone is, that they throw on their mask, no one has a problem with it. There's where have all the cowboys gone? No one fights back. Everyone's just down to do this forever. And I actually tweeted that out. I said, so what's the new goalpost? At least 2 years ago, they had the decency to treat us like sheep that needed goalposts. Now we're all such lemmings that they don't even think we need it. They're like, oh, you know, don't even give them a deadline. Just tell them to keep them on forever. They don't care. They're lazy morons. They'll do it. They're not going to put up a fight. Whatever we say is the science. They'll take it open wide. This is the science. Eat it up. Done. We tell them to, we ask them to jump. They ask us how high. That's what they think of us now. And now there's no goalposts. Now it's, you know, it went from Mother's Day to Christmas to maybe by 2022. And now it's, oh, this is life now. This is life, so enjoy it. 844-500-4242. Thank you for those phenomenal calls. We will be back with Gail Huff Brown. We're going to talk about her new race in New Hampshire. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We've had a lot of great callers today, so let's go right out to the phone lines. Ellie, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Ellie.
Hi, Grace. Thank you for everything you do. I listen to you every day.
Oh, thank you, Ellie.
I just wanted to respond to the caller that talked about the mask mandate in Waltham. I live in Westford, and the Board of Health just reinstated the mask mandate for indoor gatherings, no matter what, in any public setting, anything, on October 1st. And no one is complying. You can go in Market Basket, you can go in Petco, Marshalls, you can go wherever, and there's at least, I'll say 60% of people just aren't wearing masks.
Yeah, so my point, Ellie, being is that's a good thing, because in a lot of these places, people are complying. Like when I go to Chestnut Hill, when I go to Fancy Town, everyone does comply. So maybe it's just about where you are.
Yeah, that too. But I mean, this is a liberal town. I mean, we have like 85% vaxxed, like only 30% voted for Trump. Yeah, so we are in the minority. I feel like everyone is just pretty sick of everything. We're sick of it. And I think across the board, everybody really is just like, you know, I'm not going to listen to this anymore. We're just going to live our lives, because when does it end? There's no end in sight, really.
There's no end in sight. And when you have someone like Dr. Fauci get on TV and say you might have to, have a virtual Christmas, people, you can tell that people are sick of it, because he had so much pushback. He had to reverse that within 24 hours. Thank you for the call, Ellie. Let's take one more call here. Steve, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, there was a caller that just called in, and he indicated that, you know, we keep voting for these politicians that keep, you know, doing the things that we don't want them to do. And I would actually beg to differ with the evidence that's come out from Dr. Shiva, with the evidence that's come out in Arizona, Maricopa County. I would beg to differ. I would say that we're not choosing these elected officials. And with, you know, a lot of the rigging of the elections and the different forms of election fraud that takes place, I would say that they're being selected by themselves and the people in charge, and that we actually don't have that vote to actually vote for the people that we want.
I think that is an argument that can be made, Steve, and you put that really well. It reminds me of after when Trump lost, using air quotes, the election, I said to my dad, I'm just so disappointed that so many Americans, you know, didn't vote for Trump, that we missed out on this opportunity. And my dad said, did they, though? That's the question. And whether or not it's true or false, our politicians should care that 60% of Republicans are concerned about election integrity. Whether or not you buy into the big lie or you don't buy into it. The problem is that people have a distrust in our government, and that should be addressed. That should be a concern for politicians. They should want this all to be on the level. They should want people to have confidence in their elections. It should bother them that people don't think it was a fair election. But it doesn't bother them. In fact, they want to make everything they did in that election permanent. That doesn't make any sense. When they had the hanging chads, the first thing they thought of was, we're not doing this again. People really don't have faith that George Bush beat Al Gore. And in this case, they're saying, oh, people are upset. People feel like they were robbed. Let's do it forever. It's ridiculous. Joining me now, I'm very excited about this. Gail Huff Brown announced this morning that she is running for New Hampshire's 1st Congressional District. And Gail is joining the show now. Thank you so much for coming on, Gail.
Thank you. It's so nice to talk to you and to your listeners. Thank you.
All right. Now, Gail, you are joining five other Republicans who are looking to unseat Democratic U.S. Representative Chris Pappas. And my question for you to start, which I know you'll get a lot of in this race, is why you? Why not someone else like Matt Maurer? Why are you the best candidate for this?
Well, here's my opinion. First of all, I just have life experience that the other candidates don't have. I mean, number one, I have obviously, I've been a homeowner and taxpayer in New Hampshire for more than 30 years, which is longer than most of my opponents have been alive. I'm a conservative mother, a new grandmother, a military spouse, so I bring all of that to the table. For the past 4 years, I've been serving, of course, under President Trump and pushing the America First agenda overseas in the South Pacific and Indo-Pacific. As part of that, I was the president of the Diplomatic Spouses, so I had a role there in soft diplomacy of dealing with people from all over the world, different religions, different languages, different beliefs and politics, and being able to work all together. But ultimately, I was a journalist for 30 years, and most of your listeners will probably remember me as the Channel 5 news reporter, investigating, researching, interviewing people, getting to the bottom of complex issues, and then being able to explain them in a way that people can understand. And I think Washington is broken. It needs someone there that has those abilities and those skills to really get to the bottom of complex issues and be able to advocate for New Hampshire.
Yeah, and Gail, I think that, and this is just my experience talking with listeners, is that with Republican candidates, what oftentimes seems to be the fear with voters is that they're going to talk really tough and then they're going to get in there and they're going to lose their backbone and they're going to look for that strange new Mitt Romney style of respect from Washington and from the Washington Post and all these journalists. Do you think that you can actually go into this fight and keep the wants of your constituents in the, at the top of your mind and not fall prey to being kind of swayed into whatever the political elite want you to do?
Well, that's an easy one. First of all, I've had a career. I had 30 years as a reporter. I am not looking for a political career. I'm not looking to Washington to go down there for the next 10 years. I'm not looking for a second career in politics and, and all the things that come with that. I've had those careers. I'm a grandmother now. I want to go down there, make immediate changes, because we are in an emergency situation now and it deserves emergency attention. So in order to, to fall prey to the organizations or the PACs and all the forces down there that are at play, one would have to want to stay there. I believe strongly in term limits, not that I would even stay for more than a couple of terms, but I believe strongly that you go for a couple of years, and as our forefathers wanted, you do your time and then you come back home and someone else goes and represents the country and represents their state. So for me, it would be representing New Hampshire, and I believe we're in an emergency now.
Now, Gail, I want to read to you because this is going to be part of what you're dealing with and you're going to get criticism, you're going to get backlash. I want to read to you what the Democrats commented on your announcement. They said, Huff Brown's entrance into this primary. Now, I should state this is James Singer of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. He said, Huff Brown's entrance into this primary underscores this GOP primary field is a collection of out of state, out of touch, and out of their mind candidates. How do you respond to that?
I don't know this gentleman, but it sounds very much like a liberal and Democrat talking point. First of all, out of state, no. Once again, I've been a taxpayer homeowner here for more than 30 years, and this is my home. Out of my mind, probably out of my mind. I'm not sure about that one. What was the other one, though?
Out of touch.
Out of touch. Oh, okay. No, the ones who are out of touch here are the Democrats and Pelosi and Pappas and Biden. They're the ones out of touch. They are completely out of touch with what middle America and most of us Americans out here, and especially those of us in New Hampshire, want. So if there's any out of touch, it's definitely on that end, not on ours. We are very much, and I am very much in touch with New Hampshire voters. I've been spending, the past 2 months going from one side of the district to the other, talking to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. So if I'm out of touch, then you know what? Those hundreds and hundreds of people in New Hampshire are out of touch, too.
I'm speaking with Gail Huff Brown. She's on the show now telling us why she's the best candidate in New Hampshire. Gail, you mentioned a lot that you are a grandmother, that you've raised kids, you live in New Hampshire, and I guess my question for you would be, what is the issue you're hearing most of from people in New Hampshire that they care about a lot? Because what I hear about a lot here is a few things. I get election integrity. A lot of times if I bring up critical race theory, if I bring up mask mandates in schools, I'll get full lines full of callers who are very passionate about that. So I'm curious if you had to name a few topics here that really seem to be at top of mind for your future constituents, what would you say?
I would say the number one I get most is mandates. People are very upset about the mandates, and they're very upset that they're having to choose between their livelihood and getting a shot, and that other options are not being made available. So I would say that by far that's the number one. But a close second, really, is just taxes and the money coming out of their pockets. We're paying more at the grocery store. We're paying more for our gas. We're paying more. I mean, you know, inflation is on the rise again, and people know that. They see that. They feel that. They're concerned about that, especially when the Democrats keep talking about raising taxes. Small businesses are getting choked. They are getting choked. Petey's down the street from me. I've been going to Petey's for decades. A great guy. He's had to close many days because he doesn't have enough workers to open his restaurant. I mean, getting people, you know, back into the workforce, getting America back to work is a major part of what we need to do.
Gail Huff Brown, thank you so much for coming on the show. I am going to offer the other candidates equal time here if they want to call in. It might not be today, but before the race, we'll definitely offer equal time to everybody. Gail Huff Brown, where can people find more about you?
I'm so glad you asked, because I was just going to say I do have a website. It's GailHuffBrownForCongress.com. And I would encourage people to go to it. We put a video out today. I announced my candidacy via video, and I would encourage anyone who wants to help, who wants to get involved, please come in and seek us out so we can find you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Gail Huff Brown. I have a feeling I'll be hearing from Matt Maurer very soon. This is going to be a heated race, I think. How does our economy determine the value of an item? The price of the world's most valuable commodities are all set at auction. Items such as fine art, antiques, coins, and classic cars. Fine art, you know, that gets me thinking. We got to talk about Hunter Biden. Don't let me forget. It's all set at auction, and it's priced through auction. The fish you just ate, the textiles that make up the clothes on your back, and the diamond on your finger. All of those items were originally priced through auction. So when it's time to sell the most valuable commodity you own, your real estate, why not sell it at auction with JJ Manning? Their clients are intelligent decision makers who set the terms and sell their real estate quickly and contingency-free in a competitive auction. There's no stigma, no distress in this process. Recent Howie and Grace listeners have seen upwards of 30 qualified bidders competing for their real estate. Now, here's the real key to this, because when you sell real estate traditionally, you have to pay the broker commission. In a JJ Manning auction, there's a huge plus: the buyer pays. To learn more on how to get your residential, commercial, or land property sold quickly and contingency-free, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Call Charlie today at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com and get your property sold. We will be back with more of your calls, 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Let's do the poll question quickly here. Today's poll question is brought to you by Nauset Disposal. Affordable rubbish and recycling from Duxbury to Provincetown. Go to NausetDisposal.com. That's NausetDisposal.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
What are you most afraid of? Global warming, COVID-19, or domestic extremism?
COVID-19, because I don't like mandates. I don't like shutdowns. I don't like a destroyed economy. So I'm going to say COVID-19, but not because of the virus, because of what the virus has brought out in our society.
COVID-19 is polling at 16%, good for second place. First place goes to domestic extremism at 81%, only 3% for global warming.
All right, now I see everyone on the lines. We will take your calls here, but I would be remiss if I did not play a little bit of John Forbes Kerry, because I know how he's going to see this sound, and I got to be a little selfish here and get to it first. John Kerry did an interview with French TV, and he was asked about the US-UK-Australia submarine deal that cut out France and really, really aggravated a lot of French leaders, and they felt like they were unfairly left out. They felt like they were betrayed by the United States of America.
They pulled personnel out of embassies over that.
Yes, it was a very big deal for the French. And listen to John Kerry tell us that Biden is a lot like Barack Obama. Barack used to find things out via the newspaper. Listen to how Joe Biden finds things out. Cut 21.
And President Biden asked me about it, and I told him and expressed.
You told Joe Biden that it was not the right.
He asked me. He said, "What's the situation?" And I explained exactly. He had not been aware of that. He literally had not been aware of what had transpired. And I don't want to go into the details of it, but suffice it to say.
Ugh, everything's so
pompous. I don't know what the hell's going on here.
Shouldn't he know about that? And this isn't the first time Kerry's gone rogue and made up his own decisions. You know, he met with the Iranian heads of state or something like that way back when Trump was president, because he thought he knew better than Trump. And he also, of course, did a little bit of talking about global warming. But I don't want to play all the year stuff just yet, Jared. I want to listen to John Kerry speak French, because I don't know if I'll be able to sit through this, but we will try. Cut 24.
Mother Nature doesn't measure par habitant. Mother Nature measures by total, by the whole picture.
Oh my gosh. I am cringing. Per habitant. En total. He is.
Quel moron.
He is the biggest ass going. I mean, what a fraud. Wait, can we play that one more time, please?
Mother Nature doesn't measure par habitant. Mother Nature measures by total, by the whole picture.
Ugh. And let's, speaking of Mother Nature, how much longer do we have Mother Nature before time runs out? Cut 22.
The scientists give us, 9 years now. It was 12 years, 3 years ago. But we had a president who, without any rationale, without any legitimate rationale, without any evidence, without any science, without any economic legitimacy, pulled out of the agreement.
Oh, so it's Trump's fault. He had that math right, though. So that's one point for John Kerry. Let's go to Kim. You're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Kim.
Hey, after listening to what the reporter found out, when are we going to see some of these clowns go to jail?
In what topic?
It's murder. They got paid for murder.
Oh, you're talking about the Project Veritas stuff. Yeah, I don't. A pretty standard response to this question is no one is ever going to go to jail for anything. Unless, of course, you're a parent who was a little too mouthy at a school board meeting. Then the FBI might look into it. But you're absolutely right that I still think it's amazing that we got those emails from Dr. Fauci where he admitted that it looked like it could be a virus that leaked out of the Wuhan lab, and or human engineered virus, however, whatever the scientific term is. And he admitted it in his emails. We had the smoking gun and nothing happened. He's still on TV. He's still talking about, let's play this, Jared. Let's play cut 32, and I'm going to cut it a little short, but cut 32.
But we can gather for Christmas, or it's just too soon to tell?
You know, Margaret, it's just too soon to tell.
And then cut within 24 hours, cut 31.
You know, I also said something over the weekend that was taken completely out of context.
Oh.
I was asked, what could we predict for this winter, for like December and Christmas?
I was going to ask you.
Yeah, I mean, I say you hold off on that. I said, we don't know, because we've seen slopes that went down.
Oh, the evolution, the slopes, the charts, the models.
Anyone would know, it'd be one of Santa's elves.
844-500-4242. Get on the line for 2A Tuesday. It's coming up next. I want full lines for Toby Leary from Cape Gunn. Don't go anywhere.